you're listening to futurenetzero.com. Our platform will help your business or public sector organisation on its path to net zero. Subscribe for tools to help cut your emissions and partner with us if you want to make a difference. futurenetzero.com. Better business, better planet.
Hi, I'm Simon Bowes from Future Net Zero. Green energy. It's a thing that we're all supposed to do, but how green is green? You've seen a change over the last few years as major players in the oil and gas industry have shifted and pivoted, and they talk about what they're trying to do. Now, they're very honest, and they don't say that they have become completely green, because a lot of them still have gas units. And gas is a big part of what we're still burning today to keep the lights on. But they're shifting, and more companies, whether you're big or small, are looking to try and buy greener energy. Eventually, as the grid shifts and pivots, we will have a decarbonized energy mix, but we're not there now. So how do you know what's green is green? How do you prove that it's come from the right sources? And what are you going to do about making sure you get the right mix of energy that is affordable for your business? Well, that's what we're going to discuss today with James Turner from Total Energies. Hello, James.
Hi there.
You're the products manager, is that right?
Yeah, so head of products, yeah.
So if you go back a few years, you were called Total Oil and Gas. You flipped to becoming Total Energies. Why did that come about?
Yeah, so the rebrand was linked to very much a change in strategy where, so effectively, as you sort of rightly highlighted in the past, sort of very much a oil and gas company. And the sort of pivot in strategy was based on the fact, I mean, you know we have to change. We know globally and in the country, we need to change as well in terms of sort of carbon intensity and where our energy is coming from. So we see it as effectively a transition from one world to the other, where we have an ambition to be net zero by 2050. And so there's a journey along the way for both us, but also the customers that we're selling products to as well. So from one world to the other. So I suppose to, you know, we're not just talking about this. And so we have backed that up with a significant investment in the renewable space globally, I suppose, but also in the UK as well.
You know, the thing that will be aimed at you by green groups and it's just greenwashing. Yeah, change your name, but you're still supplying lots of gas. So how do you answer that when customers say to you, oh, hang on, mate, you're not like, you know, a good energy, for example, that's always been kind of we're in that space or whatever. You know, British Gas have got this issue. Other suppliers who've generally been in the fossil fuel industry have got this issue. So when someone says to James, hang on, is this just a change of name or have you become greener? How do you reply?
Yeah, and it's a good question.
It's a fair question as well, I think, for most consumers.
Yeah, and a fair question and one which we need to try and explain. And I think the explanation is that, yes, we've come from a certain background. We are transitioning to a new one. I think this is probably my opinion in this as well, but to get to the end game and to keep everyone with the same standard of living, there is a transitionary period. And so things that are less carbon intensive, so things, you know, gas compared to oil, for instance, and coal, probably have a space in the medium term before we move to sort of a fully net zero world. So I'd say that's the first part to it. But, you know, this as a company for us, it is serious, and we are actually putting our money where our mouth is in terms of investment. So I just started to touch upon sort of ambition to be a really large scale renewable player. So by 2030, we want to be one of the world's top five producers of renewable energy, but that's already started. So we've already got a global portfolio of 70 gig at the moment. So,
and what is that, mainly wind or is it solar? What's the mix?
So it's mostly wind, but the solar in there as well. So we do large scale solar projects globally as well. So yeah, that's the portfolio at the moment. About 46 gig of that is under development. So it's things going on at the moment, and we're actively looking for new projects as well. It's probably worth mentioning from a UK perspective. So, you know, this is real as well. So in the UK, we were a large scale investor in Seagreen, which is the largest wind farm in Scotland. So that sort of went fully live last year. So with all the turbines working, so that's fully up and running. And then there's basically three or four other schemes in the UK we're looking at as well, in terms of sort of floating offshore wind as well. So sort of more technologically advanced projects, which,
yeah,
which hopefully if successful can be scaled up as well. So yeah, we are, you know, it's worth stating, we are a serious player and we're ambitious in this space. And, you know, we have really made strides in the capacity that we're actually putting out there in renewables as well globally.
What about other things? Obviously, you still have gas. Do you know a percentage of how much of what you're providing a customer now comes from gas? How much renewables? And are you using things like, you talked about solar and obviously wind, but what about things like, you know, people hear a lot about biomass or green gas. Are you in those areas as well?
Yeah, I mean, from the production of that, we're involved in all of those activities to an extent. But I mean, the predominant focus on the development of projects is solar and wind.
Right.
But yeah, there are, I suppose, we are involved in CCGT projects, particularly in France as well, which again we see it as a sort of transitionary fuel effectively. I think when you get onto supply to end users,
yeah,
in the UK and sort of our fuel mix there, so just under half in terms of volume of what we're supplying to, as people may or may not know, but we're a sort of non-domestic supplier.
Yeah.
So yeah, just under half of that is coming from renewable sources. And beyond that, it pretty much...
it's still gas.
Yeah, it matches the fuel mix. So yeah, so yeah, effectively. So I mean, yeah, the good news is, I mean, a large chunk of our volume is already renewable and is coming from renewable sources. So yeah, that's a positive and it's a good starting point for us to sort of hopefully ramp that up in the coming years.
All right, I'm a business and I'm, I don't know, a manufacturer, or I'm maybe I have a refrigeration company or even a retail, whatever I am. When I come to you, what are you going to give me that's green? Because clearly, if you've still got the majority of your products are gas, and I'm not knocking gas because I think you're absolutely right, it's part of the transition, but you've got to match what consumers want. So if I said to you, James, I want to do business with you, but what I want is 100% green tariff, can you provide that?
So the answer is yes, we can. So we are pretty flexible based on customers' needs. And so if that customer comes to us and says we want 100% renewable offering, yeah, yes, we can provide that. And we can do that in electricity and in gas, albeit in gas, as people may know, I mean, the market is relatively limited for green gas. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so in theory, we could certainly offer 100% renewable product to those customers. It's probably worth stating as well, from a sort of wider Total Energies perspective. So we do have a solar business operating in the UK now as well. So there would also be the opportunity to talk about an on-site solution as well, where, you know, you could have, obviously for businesses that have got either sort of lots of roof space or sort of other space around their property. So that, yeah, there is the option for a solar offering and a sort of PPA type agreement as well.
Gotcha.
And so we've started to sort of make strides in that area as well in the UK, and are starting to try and develop a portfolio. But yeah, so in essence, your question was, can we supply 100% renewable energy? And the answer is yes, in both electricity and gas.
What else do you do? Because obviously people need a mix. And let's be honest, people who can afford it will say, yeah, I'll go green. But at present, the truth is, green tariffs do cost more for businesses. So if someone says that I want a mix, go through the kind of things that you could offer.
Yeah, so I mean, the predominant offering is renewable supply products. I mean, beyond that, if you take our effectively standard offering, that will largely reflect the UK fuel mix, I would say. So you would be accepting that there's things coming from other sources, and yeah, depending on the fuel mix at that time. Within the renewable offerings themselves, so we do offer some flexibility within that. So I know important to some customers is, and there's always a lot written about biomass and how sort of carbon free it is, really.
Yeah,
so we will offer there's a standard renewable offering which is effectively biomass solar, hydro and wind. And if that's fine for customers, then we offer that product. But we do also offer a, we call it pure green, but it's basically wind, hydro and solar only. And there is a fair bit of take up of that. I mean, our most popular offering is the sort of standard renewable offering, but not far behind is that pure green offering as well. So there is some choice there for customers. I think we're going to talk about traceability in a bit, so I'll just touch upon it briefly now. But
yeah,
so we do also offer, I suppose we're in a decent position as well in that lots of our REGO offering is backed through PPAs that we've gone and procured ourselves with generators. So we do offer a what we'd call like a traceable power offering as well. So,
and this is important, you brought it up, so we might as well deal with that. You know, when people say, oh, I've got green energy. Well, the truth is you don't really have green energy coming out of your plug point. Depends where you are in the country or whatever. It's what the grid is supplying at that presence and the way it balances out. But, you know, the actual saying of kind of this percentage, I bought this energy and I know that that energy eventually is accounted for as green. How do we do that? How do you go around and show people the kind of, you know, the legitimacy of the claim of how much of the mix is solar or how much of the mix is hydro, et cetera?
Yeah, and this is a really interesting area, I would say, because I suppose as you describe, it's slightly imperfect, as you say, in that...
Of course. You know, no, unless you've got a wind turbine in your garden, or as you say, you've got solar panels, you're not getting green out of the plug. You're getting what the grid is throwing up, which is a mix, of course.
Yeah, so everyone... Yeah, he's getting their electricity from the same place. I suppose what I would say, there are then very differing views about then, yeah, how you tackle this. And then, yeah, what is truly additionality is a word that's used a lot in this. But
yeah,
I suppose our take on it has always been that we will offer a different set of options that will different sets of customers will be comfortable with. And I suppose what I mean by that is, I suppose it also needs to be cost effective for those customers as well. So what we effectively do is we have a standard REGO based offering where, you know, it could come directly from the market, it could come from our PPAs, but effectively there's a standard REGO offering that's sort of priced accordingly.
We should probably just explain what REGO is in case any of the listeners aren't across it. Renewable Energy Guarantee of Origin, isn't it? That's REGO, which basically sort of says we are guaranteeing you that this percentage of your mix, whatever, was made this way, and you have a certificate form. Is that right, that you can give me as a customer?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's a way of how the renewable energy market can operate. So yeah, through these certificates effectively to show it's come from that generation source. So yeah, so there's that sort of standard offering. But even with that, we now do provide a report of those specific generation assets where that REGO has come from. So even with, for those customers, they will have a view of what generation source is, where in the country, et cetera, et cetera. And so it is at least visible to the customer.
Gotcha. Why is traceability important, do you think? Is it because of the atmosphere that we're in? And also, not just for you as a company, but also the consumer, the customer wants to show their green credentials. I suppose that's why it's important these days, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's definitely a customer drive to it.
Right.
And yeah, so we see it in tenders, to be honest, that there's more and more questions and information wanted on these types of things, how we deal with these things and what granularity of information we'll show, which I'll touch upon in a second. But the other part to it is there are industry bodies, for instance, that are sort of pushing standards on this. So the UK Green Buildings Council, for instance, has put out some guidance on sort of ages of assets and of renewable assets and sort of the level of matching we do. Because the other thing it's worth mentioning is that, so the renewable market at the moment, it's sort of matched to your consumption on an annual basis.
Uh-huh.
The reality being that, you know, wind asset, for instance, will be generating at certain times, perhaps when you're not consuming as an end user. So it won't 100% match up. So yeah, there's another aspect to it, which there's a thing about how much information you're providing the customer with there. And we are looking at, we're actually trialing it at the moment, but going down to, so way beyond annual and actually to hourly matching. So a customer...
Wow. So they can know exactly how much is sort of pure green hour by hour. That's the idea, is it?
Yeah, exactly. So they'll be able to see effectively which assets are supporting their consumption hour by hour. Yeah. So, and what it will probably show you, that probably won't be 100% unless
of course.
Yeah, because of the sort of intermittency of assets, and it depends on the portfolio that the supplier's got to support that. So that's another interesting feature. And then, yeah, the other part to it is this sort of traceability thing, which the concept really is that you should effectively, I suppose, sell with our PPAs with generators. We've procured the electricity from the asset along with the REGO as well, which by many customers is seen as sort of a better offering in a sense, because it is more traced back to its source. So I think all of this is important for various reasons, but as you say, most of it is sort of customer interest.
Yes.
Probably technological advancement that we can do more at the hourly level as well.
Of course, yeah.
And yeah, different, the UK Green Buildings Council being an example of it, they sort of set standards for...
Sort of more pressures coming in, yeah absolutely. Yeah. And before we go... there's a lot of choice. You've just gone through some of it, and I'm sure people can go to the Total Energies website and find it. But how do I, as a business, go about working out which is the right one? Now, we can all want to be green, but we also, as you said earlier, there are financial pressures. We all know what's going on right now. And, you know, businesses have to make decisions based on finances as well as net zero ambitions. So how do you go about it? How do you select the right one for your business? What would you say?
Yeah, I would say that if you know you want to go renewable, then yeah, you should speak to your supplier about the options available. And I think, so there's probably a scale of the cost of some of these things. So, you know, if you went to that hourly matching, for instance, it's an additional service with more cost.
Of course.
So I'd say it's a balance against the cost of it versus some of your pressures and influences as a particular business. I mean, what I would say is, and we're very clear about this, with the way the market operates today, our standard renewable offering, we think is a good product. So, and I think it, you know, it can count towards your sort of greenhouse gas emissions reporting. So we absolutely believe that's a good product. The others are built on that, depending on what's important to you and some of the pressures placed upon you. So for example, if the, you know, you're a member of that UK Green Home Buildings Council, it may push you down towards some of the other products.
Understood. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, so I think it purely depends on the, you know, and different businesses, they might look very similar but take very different viewpoints on this as well. So I think it just comes down to what's important to them.
How much can you help? So obviously, you know, people running businesses are running their businesses. They're not going to be experts in energy. Right? People know more about energy over the last probably 5-10 years because of it's been in the news so much. But, you know, this is the one bit where I suppose, you know, either coming direct to suppliers like yourself or going to brokers, people need advice, don't they?
Yeah, and we've got lots of information on these products. Our account managers are well versed on this and would be happy to talk through some of the options. So yeah, I think my advice really is for end users to, I mean, yeah, lots of them use brokers as well, but reach out to your supplier and have a good conversation about what's right based on your own needs, really.
My final thing, what's our renewable sort of landscape like right now? Because you've seen a shift where we're talking about get a few more oil and gas because of the Ukraine crisis, oil and gas licenses. You've got whoever gets into power, we don't know what's going to happen, but you know, things aren't going to radically shift overnight. We've still got a lot of resistance to onshore wind. I think it's a kind of, I do understand it because people don't really like to see these turbines right next to them. But it's all part of kind of, if you really want to go green, you know, we don't have enough nuclear for the low carbon. How would you say the renewable mix is at present and the landscape in this country? Are we sort of done a lot, but not enough? Or are we sort of progressing quite well? How would you market for the UK? I know you're a sort of global company, but just sort of UK-wise.
Yeah, I mean, for the UK, I mean, obviously, a huge advantage is we are a great country for offshore wind, and we have certainly taken advantage of that. So I think we are ahead of some countries, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably getting to the limits of my expertise potentially, but I would say that it does seem to have stalled a little bit at the moment.
Yeah.
And you know, some projects haven't got bidders and things like that for various reasons. So I think it, I would say generally energy policy needs a real review after the general election, probably, and to get it back on track again.
Yeah.
It's probably worth talking about landscape as well. It's probably worth mentioning that, so the REGO market as itself has had its challenges in the last 12 yes. months. So it sort of peaked at £25 last year, and for a couple of reasons, really. So that was, that happened to be low renewable output. And also, which was a sort of quirk of the mechanism, but so EU guarantees of origin, which is a very similar thing to Arrigo, but they could be sort of bought from the EU market and used in the UK, which probably wasn't ideal anyway, but that's gone with Brexit. So that sort of then shortage of REGOs has led to the price going up.
And of course.
Yeah. Sort of that settled down again now. So it's sort of settled to around £14 a megawatt hour. And sort of that's for sort of a year out or so. But then beyond that, it has fallen further. Who knows if that will continue? So if the supply of renewables stays okay, that could stay stable, but we just don't know really. But the reason for mentioning that was, so at its peak, that was putting customers off even going renewable in the first place. So it's tough for the end user when they've got this challenge between cost versus what they really want to do. So
yeah, their green ambition. And I think, you know, if you're sensible, most people understand it's a difficult balance for companies like yourselves, for governments, and for us as businesses and end users. But, you know, to end with, I feel though, you know, that things are definitely better than they were, say, 5 years ago. So if a business is wanting to get greener and cleaner, they should go for it, in your view?
Yeah, they should go for it, and they should explore all options. So as I say, if you're fortunate enough to have space on site, you should absolutely...
Yeah, on-site generation, yeah, PPAs, yeah.
Yeah, and you avoid sort of non-commodity costs as well. So, the you know, there's definitely a place to have a look at that in the first instance. That's not going to be right for everyone. And then we haven't mentioned corporate PPAs at all, so that's another route you can go down. Again, I don't believe that's going to be mass market because it's quite complex to arrange. But yeah, then you have got a very good sort of renewable supply product market and using REGOs. And as I say, within that, there are, depending on what you're comfortable with, many options there. So yeah, I think they should definitely go for it.
They shouldn't curtail their ambition. That's what I'm trying to get to.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And everyone is effectively under the same pressure to make this work. So suppliers, end users as well, like we're all sort of on the same journey. And yeah, so hopefully people aren't curtailing their ambition, even with some of the challenges.
Yeah, brilliant. James, thanks so much for your time. If people want to get involved and understand more about kind of what you're doing at Total Energies, just go to the website. Is that the best place to start?
Yeah, just go to the website.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot for your time. If you have got any questions, then you can get in touch with us at Future Net Zero, and we'll pass on the details to the team at Total Energies. Keep listening, subscribing for these sort of updates and these sort of podcasts. Thanks very much for listening.
Thanks for listening to a partner podcast with Total Energies. This is a promoted podcast. Please subscribe to futurenetzero.com for more advice to help cut emissions.